evening, church.
Let's go.
Man, are you guys excited for this new Thursday schedule?
Come on.
This is going to be awesome. You got Dylan and I up here for the next 3 weeks, and then after that, you guys are going to get up here and preach. So if you don't like, who in this room wants to preach? I had a feeling that was going to be true. And that's great, because you're going to be challenged, and you're going to get up here, and you're going to do it anyway. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. So tonight, the Lord wants us to rightfully define the word sacrifice by counting all things as joy rather than as a burden. We are deeply impacted as the Lord began to stir in our hearts in crushing and in the weakness. His power is made strong in our lives. We are rich when we allow his oil or his fragrance to be pouring from our lives. Tonight's sermon is going to be called Crushed but Abundantly Fruitful. Turn to Revelation 2, 8, and say there when you're there.
Come on.
All right, Revelation 2, 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews are not, but are actually synagogues of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. In the church of Smyrna, you see that they were being warned, or really, the Lord was saying, do not be afraid of the things to come.
Yeah.
In America, we don't have those issues, at least not yet. So when we were going over this, we were thinking about, okay, well, we're not really persecuted in America, at least not to the degree that Smyrna was or other places in the world. So what is persecution look like here? And really, we were looking at it, and it's more of an internal crushing or an internal persecution. It's not external. It's what you do to yourself rather than what someone does to you. It's easy to go around the mountain time and time and time again and asking God, Lord, where is my fruit? Where is the anointing or the fragrance that pleases you from my life? I don't see anything coming from my life. We are crushed by our potential, not the physical persecution.
Can you guys feel that? It's not always these physical persecutions that we're dealing with. In fact, it's majority of the time not what we're dealing with at all. Most of the time, you're beating yourself up more than anybody else is beating you up. Can you guys feel that? When we were learning of Smyrna on Sunday, we were learning that this was the reality that they were living in. These physical things were happening to them. They were truly impoverished. They were truly poor. They were truly being tested. They were being killed. They were being in prison. These are physical realities. But what we want to touch on tonight is that we have the same opportunity as them, even though we're not going through the same physical things. Our opportunity is to be abundantly fruitful no matter what the circumstances are.
Amen.
Can somebody say abundantly fruitful?
Abundantly fruitful.
Say this with me again. How about this time, abundantly joyful?
Abundantly joyful.
How about abundantly hopeful?
Abundantly hopeful.
Abundantly faith-filled.
Abundantly faith-filled.
This is the opportunity that we have today. No matter the crushing weight of your anxiety, the perplexment of you being inadequate for the task, God has called you to the same opportunity as the Church of Smyrna. To be abundantly fruitful. We have the opportunity inside of this crushing weight to be abundantly fruitful. In John chapter 15, verse 2, we read, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Someone say, more fruit.
More fruit.
In this sacrifice, in this momentary trouble we call life, in this singular opportunity we call life, we have a chance to be abundantly fruitful no matter what. Do you guys understand? That this is a singular opportunity that you never get back. That this life is an opportunity to be faithful to him and to operate in his goodness. It is a singular opportunity, and we have the great opportunity to be abundantly fruitful. Let's peer into the scriptures when we find this example in Isaiah chapter 26. We're going to read about some of the crushing of Israel, and we're going to see what their pains were, just like we read on Sunday about Smyrna's pains, how they were imprisoned and put to death. Well, this was Israel's turmoil in Isaiah chapter 26. As a pregnant woman about to give birth rises and cries out in her pain, so we were in your presence, Lord. We were with child, we writhed in labor, but we gave birth to wind. There are a lot of women who have given birth in this place. That would not be a fun experience. You go through all of this turmoil, you go through all of this toil, and what you produce in the end is just gone. But listen to what actually pained them about this birthing process. We have not brought salvation to the earth, and the people of the world have not come to life. We want to make this clear. This passage is not centered on your wealth. It's not centered on your health. It's not centered on your personal insecurities, your discontentment, being mad at yourself or being lazy. Happiness or sadness is not the point of their pain in the scripture. But instead, their pain was centered on their inability to bring forth salvation to the earth. That the whole world had not come to life yet. Is that something you guys think about every single day? I'd argue that most times that's not where our minds are at. They were looking around and nothing had to been brought to life by their labors every single day. Often we focus on our circumstances and not bringing salvation to the whole earth. That's convicting for me. In this example we learned on Sunday of Smyrna, for Smyrna, if they were focused, and if you are focused on your lack, on your poverty, on your hunger, on your social pressures, on even imprisonment, even their own debts, then when they were crushed, as you remember, do you guys remember the slide on Sunday? Yes. When they were crushed, what they were focused on is all that would come out of them. And I want you guys to think about that for a second. Where are your eyes at today? What are the weights you've placed on yourself? Because when the opportunity for crushing does come, that's exactly what will come out of you. We're not a reactive people. We're a proactive people. And we need to be stirring the things inside of us so that when we are crushed, and every time I say that word, like, it's barely relatable to us anymore. It's like, what do you mean by crushing? Like, when I was scared I was going to lose my job? Like, when we see that image of them being crushed under physical weights, it's very hard to relate to that. But I'm going to need you guys to tap in tonight. These things are not what we're called to. We're not called to be social pressured. We're not called to be afraid of things going around us. We're called to allow that to produce something else inside of us. But as we know, and as we meditate on these things, many of us feel that we go through the cycle of piercing and tribulation, but give birth to total wind, and it just disappears. We're going after it day after day after day. But every time you're being pierced, nothing precious or nothing of fragrance is coming out. What Polycarp went into the fire, now I hope all of you remember the sermon. What Polycarp went into the fire with was shown inside the fire because it revealed what was already inside. His motive was not that of serving himself, but instead God. And so when the fire came, this is what came out. An overwhelmingly victorious attitude. And we see that on the first slide. When Polycarp spoke of this, he said, 86 years I have served him, and he has never wronged me. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? This was brewing in him for 86 years. And so when the opportunity came, the fragrance of Christ was poured out on everybody. And that's really what Caleb and I's heart was tonight, was specifically more of us are crushed by our potential realities than our present circumstances. We are not being burned alive. We are not even being evicted from our homes because of our poverty. I can't name somebody in here who's done that in the last 5 years. We're not even that broke. We're broke, but we're not that broke. This is not something that we're experiencing on a daily basis. Who in here is more crushed by their emotions, feelings, and desires than your inability to bring salvation to the earth? Yeah. That is absolutely exhausting. When we read these examples, Polycarp's aim was to serve him who saved him. And in Isaiah 26, Israel was not in pain because of their own lack of prosperity, but because his fragrance had not filled the whole earth yet. So, tonight, we want God to birth something fresh in you. A desire to fill the whole earth with the fragrance of him. We want more of him to come out when we are crushed. We want more of him to come out when we are tested. We want more of him to come out when we are pressed on all sides. So, I'm not sure if we have slides. Do we have slides? Yes. Slide number two. I want to give you guys a visual.
The opportunities of remnant.
And remind you guys of the position that we are currently in. So you guys remember this slide, right? Yeah. It's like the tribulations of Smyrna, and it's like death, imprisonment, which none of us have been into. But I want to help you guys with this. This is more what we look like on a daily basis. You're being crushed by your potential to even do these things. To even go to the nations, to save souls, to be committed to the brotherhood, to experience true life, true riches. You're more crushed by these things than you are actual external persecution.
Or even the anxieties of going to evangelize and seeking souls, being crushed by even the idea of doing so.
But we want to rejoice with you guys today that we have an opportunity to be abundantly fruitful. These are our opportunities. These are the things that we are going to do. And we're not going to be put off by just the potential idea of doing it.
Amen. Are we being crushed by the idea of giving our lives for the nations?
Are we being crushed by even the concept of inconveniencing ourselves for souls?
Wow. Are we scared of giving up our lives to experience true life? Are you willing to do that?
We're still holding on to those things. Giving up what you think is life to trust him for true life. Are we afraid of giving up our wealth for true riches? I mean, that is so clear. Are we weighed down by our commitments to the brotherhood? Does it burden you? Does it feel like this? Are these the things that are causing anxiety in your heart? Why are they causing anxiety in your heart? This is our opportunity to be abundantly fruitful. It's producing in us a greater faith. It's producing in us a greater faith that is more precious than gold.
Are we being burdened by ministry or even the desire to draw near to the Lord, but because of the weight that we feel because it's been too long that we actually don't step into his presence?
I wrestle around this one, going around and around the mountain, of feeling like whenever I get distant between the Lord and not wanting to actually go back into his presence, because I'm like, I feel that guilt, I feel that shame, I feel that distance. And so it actually keeps me from the potential of actually spending time in his presence. Mm.
This is the reality we're supposed to be living in. This right here, this is a healthy weight. And it's producing an aroma that's pleasing to Christ. But when we start putting other weight on it that he didn't call us to carry, then this will only become a burden to you. Looking at the tribulations of Smyrna on this slide, like we mentioned, this was the reality that they were living in. They were not stuck in their potential. And in this place today, we're going to move past potential and into reality that we are called to live in. That we're called to be abundantly fruitful in the opportunities that we have every day. Listen, we know that God doesn't just love you for what you will be. He loves you for what you are now. But he's a God that calls you up because he is God Most High. He continues to increase you because he loves you. Let's keep going.
Saints, our heart tonight is that you wouldn't be weighed down by the potential of the things to come to the point where it makes you ineffective for the kingdom of God. But we want to actually give, we want it to be a place that is a crushing that actually produces a fragrance and an oil that's pleasing to the Lord himself. So that whenever, can you put that slide back up? The tribulations of Smyrna. So that when these things do come, the only thing that comes out of you is Jesus.
Yeah.
The church of Smyrna wasn't corrected on anything. In fact, they were encouraged. And they just said, prepare for the tribulation and the trials and the imprisonment to come, because he knew that they were going to able to stand it. So he just reminded them to stay strong. Do not fear, for what the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so we want to encourage you guys to where that fruit that you're producing, that crushing, is only going to produce oil, so that when these things come, the enemy has nothing against you. Yeah. If you possess the very things that are listed above, the brotherly love, the nations, seeking the souls, the true life, the true riches, an increasing measure, they will keep you from becoming dammed up or ineffective for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
For this very reason, saints, do not be crushed by your potential. What about your your callings, your dreams, even your visions or your prophecies? Have you guys ever had so many prophecies or words given to you that you look at and you're like, Lord, where's that at? Why don't I see that now? It's been 10 years. It's been 5 years. Lord, this word was spoken to me and got a whole list of them going on, right? Yeah. And you're discouraged because you're looking at the things of what you think it should look like instead of just letting the Lord show you in his timing. So stop looking at those things and start looking at these. Turn to 2 Peter 1:5. Say, crushed, but abundantly fruitful when you get there. So I remind you again, don't be crushed by your potential, your calling, dreams, visions, or prophecies, but instead, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, meaning that it continues to go. It's not just something, it's not a one and done thing, but you continuously increase within these things. It's almost like fanning into flames the gift of God, right?
Yeah.
And to mutual affection, love, they will, for if you possess these things and qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So by keeping these, you will not be unproductive, but you will be productive for the kingdom of God, advancing forward.
So no more giving birth to wind. If you possess these things in increasing measure, then every time something comes to poke at you, prod at you, the only thing that's coming out is these things, because your eyes are locked on it. We talk about the scripture all the time. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you are focused on that, and just like we learned on Sunday, if you're focused on the resurrection, then these things will be being produced in you in increasing measure Every single time something is poked at you, every single time a conflict in your marriage arises, what's going to come out is the pleasing aroma of Christ.
Amen.
Because you are focused on these things. So let's break them down a little bit. To goodness. This one's very simple. Show goodness when others come to harm you. And again, this is very hard to speak to because it's often spoken of physical harm. But in our time, it's more like words and intentions. When someone comes at you with malicious words, either in a marriage, either in a brotherhood, in a sisterhood, even with extended family members, or even some random nobody on the street, show goodness. Show the character of Christ to them.
And in knowledge, Hosea 4:5 tells us that we are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? Yeah. But we are to meditate on his word day and night. For what reason? So that you will have success in everything that you do. Write it on your hearts like King David did, saints. And everything that you do, you shall succeed. Jesus fought the devil by the word of God himself, by the knowledge of the Lord. And so what makes you think that you have to do it? You can do it any differently than what the Lord did?
Yeah.
In fact, we should have to do it more than what Jesus did.
So if anything, these characteristics are really evidence of what's already inside, as we've spoken of. If you're showing these characters, then you're producing the fragrance of Christ in you. And you know that when you're pressed, these things are going to come out. Godliness, showing God's character against temptations and the things of this world. Displaying his character. If you are full of his fragrance when you go into the fire, when you come out of the fire, you will be full of his character. You will be full of his fragrance even still. You will be full of godliness. Brotherly affection. No greater love than this, than to lay your life down for a friend. We must continue to show a greater commitment and love for the brotherhood. That is what will be shown in you when you are crushed.
Yeah. What about loving? Loving at all times, not only when it's convenient or comfortable. True love only comes forth when you choose to love those who persecute you. It's easy to love those around you, your brothers and sisters in this room. It's easy to love. It's hard to love the ones who spit in your face whenever you're ministering the gospel. It's hard to love the ones or your distant family members and friends who hate you because you're following the way of the Lord. But even the ones that are difficult, that's when the true love should be coming out of you. Not whenever we're in the midst of our church body, when we're in the midst of our brothers and sisters. This is easy love. It's when we go out there, when there's the persecution or the hatred because they see Jesus within us. That's whenever true love should be shining through us. That no matter the circumstances, no matter what comes against us, that we should show love then.
And then in this scripture, it also says, if you possess these things in increasing measure. Amen?
Amen.
In all these things, we are not to say we are just to sacrifice. But instead, we are to say we have a greater opportunity to produce the fragrance of him everywhere and to bring salvation to the earth. Amen?
Amen?
I'm feeling you guys are ready to respond. Are you guys ready to respond?
Yes.
Are you alive tonight?
Yes.
Let's dive into this a little more. The name for Smyrna is a direct translation for the spice myrrh. Very popular in the region, and that's why the city was named after it. It was known to have a strong aroma for incense, and was used specifically as a preservative factor in preparing bodies for burial. The tree was well known for producing many perfumes and fragrant aromas. Are you known for producing a fragrant aroma? But the only way to harvest the tree was to continually pierce the tree so that the fragrant spice could come out. Does that make sense to you guys? The only way you could continue to harvest the tree over and over again is if you pierced it, and then the actual sap would come out. The tree lives only to be pierced repeatedly, so that the sap can be harvested over and over and over again. We see this clearly in Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. At the beginning of Jesus' life, he was gifted with myrrh by the Magi as he entered the world. When he was born, myrrh was present. Then we go to John chapter 19 and we read about Jesus' death. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Jesus was embalmed with myrrh at his death. In the same way that a myrrh tree is born to be pierced and it produces something fragrant, the Messiah's life and death were marked by the same process. Even Joseph's life as well. When he was sold into slavery, the slavers were myrrh traders. And then we know later that he was embalmed, most likely using myrrh, the most popular embalmment in Egypt. This is symbolic of how your life should look like. You, Roberto, Nick, Ashlyn, are like the Messiah and like the myrrh tree. You were born of God to be pierced repeatedly so that the supernatural fragrance of Christ might flow out of you to a dying world so that you might bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, if any of you thought in your mind that that sounds horrible, do not miss this passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If the moment I started talking about being pierced, you said, oh no, not again, then you're missing the point. Being pierced is an opportunity to be abundantly faith-filled. Being pierced is an opportunity to be abundantly hopeful. Being pierced is an opportunity to be abundantly fruitful. And that's the opportunity that we have today. As you're beginning to meditate on these things within your heart, how are you going to respond to this message today? What do you want to come out of you? And what is coming out now? This process of piercing to extract something fragrant was a joy to the founder and perfecter of our faith, the Messiah. Continuing on in Isaiah 26, we see this passage continue. Can you read this one?
We were with child, we were writhed in labor, but we gave birth to wind. We have not brought salvation to the earth, and the people of the world have not come to life. But your dead will live, Lord.
Yeah.
Their bodies will rise. Let those who dwell in the dust wake up and shout for joy.
Hallelujah!
Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead.
Though you have died, yet you will live. Though there are dead things in you now, Christ's resurrection power and the fragrance of that life is going to reach the entire world.
Amen.
And though you may find yourself dead in this place today, if you allow yourself to be pierced again, that fragrant life will come out. Amen. The aroma that will bring salvation to the entire world. That's the promise that we receive as those who have been given the good seed. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we, say we, have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power, a lifestyle of myrrh, is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in us this type of myrrh. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies.
Amen.
If you possess in yourself this all-surpassing power, which I'm declaring to you today, you do, of not just his death and burial, but true life, then that life will be revealed when you are pierced. And when you are pierced, you will be abundantly joyful, abundantly hope-filled, and abundantly full of life and true riches.
Amen. Someone say, we are crushed, but abundantly fruitful. Yes, you are. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You should.
Be honest now.
We just walked you through having the insecurities or the weight of the things of the potential to come and what it looks like for Jesus to be pierced. And yet, in the midst of Jesus being pierced and being crushed, being unidentified as a man on a cross, and yet he was the person who produced the most amount of fruit out of anyone's life.
Yeah.
His ministry and the fruit of his life is still being produced right now. And it will be produced for the rest of the age to come until he comes back. Turn to Isaiah 53:10. And say there when you're there.
There.
That was fast.
There.
You should actually use your Bibles. Don't look at the screen. All right, Isaiah 53:10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be counted as righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgression. Did you see that? Did you catch that? It says that he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord will prosper, and he shall see and be satisfied when what? When he's crushed.
Yeah.
It's in the crushing that we get to produce much fruit and oil. An olive can be used as a snack and can be put on sandwiches and things like that, but it's actually very limited in comparison to the olive oil. Most people use olive oil for hundreds and hundreds of different things, but olives can only produce so much. So are you wanting to only just be an olive and be used for a little bit, for a little? Or are you wanting to be crushed and produce olive oil to be used for many more things for the glory of God?
Let's go. Let's go.
Put it on some bread. All right, church, when you take on the role of the servant and are crushed for his will, you will prolong your days. You will be satisfied, and most importantly, the will of the Lord will prosper from your lives.
Yeah.
That word for prosper literally means that it will advance, succeed, or to rush forward. It's salach. And it's important because when it says that it will prosper, it means that it will succeed. That there is nothing that can hinder or stop the rushing of the word of God or the will of the Lord to be successful on this earth. That it's going to happen. It will happen. And it will happen through your guys' life as you guys allow yourselves to be crushed and allow him to produce the oil and the anointing and the fragrance that is pleasing to him. The crushing of Jesus produced generational impact. It produced a fragrance that filled the heavens, and the Father was very well pleased. We are called to walk as Jesus walked, are we not?
Yes.
Then we should be crushed. Just as Jesus was crushed and pierced, to the human natural eye, it may have seemed like Jesus failed. But we know that that's a lie. Jesus succeeded in every way, and the fruit of his life has, is now, and will continue to produce fruit. His conquering death was the catalyst for taking the keys from death itself and in turn produced a resurrection full of authority and power.
Church, you are called to do the same, to walk in the same power, to walk in the same authority. You are called just like our King was called and is called. Do not be afraid, church. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. He is calling you not to give birth to wind, but to everlasting fullness of life by the powering of his Spirit, flowing through you with the oil that produces the aroma that pleases the Father. Let's turn to Romans 8:31 and stay there when you're there.
Are y'all ready to respond? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised to life and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Amen.
For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything else will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No. In all these things, we are abundantly conquering. Amen. On the inside and the outside, in death and life, in hardship and pressing, the world should see that you are abundantly conquering. This is defined as true riches in the church of Smyrna. And they define the proper weight that we should carry. What is that weight? Being abundantly fruitful. Being abundantly joyful. No matter what you're going through. No matter what is going on through your head. You're called to be abundantly fruitful.
Saints, are you surviving or are you thriving in the kingdom of God? Because you're meant to thrive. And if you're just surviving, then you're doing something wrong. And you're allowing the weight of the things of your potential to actually crush you and not keep you and not make you ineffective for the kingdom of God. But you were meant to be fruitful. Amen. You were meant for your life to be flowing with oil and making an aroma that's pleasant to the Lord. That's where you're meant to live every day, full of joy, full of peace of God. And if you're not there, then tonight you can get right with the Lord. Worship team, can you come up? And saints, you can stand. Here's our call to action in Jude 1:20. Now our call to you, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you into eternal life, where you were always meant to be. To live in eternity is to know God now. It's not whenever you get to heaven, it's knowing him here, right now. Yeah. It's living with the potential, those prophecies and those words that you received isn't meant to crush you, but instead it's meant to give you a future. It's supposed to give you hope. It's supposed to spur you on and give you something to look forward to. It's when we put our own spin and our own ideas on it that we actually get crushed in it. Lord, it's not happening whenever I want it to. It's wrong. The Lord knows exactly when you're supposed to produce the fruit you're supposed to produce. He knows the timing. He knows when. He knows how much.
and he will release it when the time comes. And we are just supposed to yield to the Father because he knows all things.
It's our responsibility to keep ourselves in God's love. We are waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to bring us into eternal life. But right now, we are to keep ourselves in his love. Through this representation that we saw on the slide today, keep yourselves in that type of position. Allow the right things to burden you and let go of the trash that's trying to kill you. Let go of just thinking about your potential and what it will look like. Lay that down right now and allow the Lord to usher you into the reality that you're supposed to be living in, the way you're supposed to be operating in. The enemy's main tactic is to snuff out little babies because he's a coward. He wants to take you out in seed form, but God wants to mature you. If you have burdened yourself with the wrong weights, that of anxiety, like if you thought of your response and you thought, well, I was thinking this a bunch, you're probably in that place. You're probably way too in your head, and you should already be responding in your actions before someone tells you to. If you're dealing with inadequacy, rebellion, even a calloused heart, if you're struggling with your money and it's domineering over you, if you have offense, anger, lofty concepts, you can't move, you're stuck in inaction, you're stuck in laziness, come and lay them down and allow God to birth in you a desire to have his fragrant myrrh fill the entire world. Israel's pain was not that they had produced something they didn't like, but the whole earth had still not been filled with his salvation. And the fragrance of him had not filled all yet. Allow those things to burden you. It's time to lay yourself down so that we can save and bring the fragrance of him everywhere. Are you guys excited to birth again in you? And at all costs, we will see a salvation fill the entire earth. That we will be abundantly fruitful, abundantly conquering. If you're lacking that confidence, it's time to respond. He's going to pierce you, and he's going to cause that fragrant myrrh to come out again. Don't just be crushed by your potential of what it think you it will be. But step up into the opportune time that is today. Today might be the last day that you have. And God has given us this generation. Amen.